Okay.
Joe Biden, you're fucking high. You need to submit to a drug test before the debates. You're smoking that loud. Me, I only smoke Reggie. I only smoke the dirtiest fucking red shit weed.
Mr. Trump, this is Anderson Cooper. Is it true that Joe Biden is a Frito? If you are a Cheeto, is he a Frito?
I've been told by the wonderful boaters in the audience that that's an offensive term to use against Italians.
If the two presidential candidates did smoke weed, how do you think they'd do it? Like, Joe Biden would just break the same $300 bong every day, and like Trump would have to make like an improvised water pipe out of a large Sprite from McDonald's.
No, so I feel like I see Trump like having a, like, Trump would be the kind of guy who has like a little chillum and like a dugout, and he just kind of like sneaks off and takes a puff, and then he inhales, he leans his head back, he closes his eyes, and then he like slowly exhales.
Oh,
like,
the worst.
Yeah, just somebody does that kind of shit. And then Joe Biden, I just can't picture Joe Biden smoking weed.
I think Joe Biden, he smoked weed with Corn Pop after they became friends, and he thinks it was mid, but it was like 20 sticks and like one little like flake of leaf, and he felt like he was on heroin. He's on blood tar heroin.
No tolerance.
Yeah,
I feel like I can imagine Trump or Biden smoking more than Trump, but I'm not sure if that's just because of like the Onion's like Diamond Joe Biden thing. Like, that guy seems like he could smoke weed, but like Trump is a freak who, like, if Trump was going to do it, he hasn't done any drugs since Quaaludes, like, stopped being a thing.
Yeah, Joe Biden seems like he could just be like the kind of freak who's like, I never even have a light beer on the plane. I don't drink anything, because he's been a senator for half his life. You know, I feel like he was just one of those like James Comey, like Boy Scout freak type guys.
Right. Yeah.
He brought beer to some campaign stop on the campaign trail, the Shanksville firefighters.
Oh yeah.
He brought them a six pack. But I'd like to imagine that Joe Biden just kind of panders to whoever he's visiting on that particular day. So he brings these guys a six pack. He goes to like rural West Virginia to a trailer park, and he just brings them a bottle of Oxys.
Dark.
Or something like
just a big can of fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
What fucking fire station is going to be able to get drunk off of six beers? Like, let's assume there's four guys there. They each get like what, one and a half beers? That's not going to be enough.
That is insulting.
Have you ever met firefighters? I mean, all they do is sit around and eat and drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's true. They don't even put out fires.
Safety, like, apart from like California and like the wilderness, if you're in like a suburb or even most urban areas, like, fire safety worked. You know, all that Smokey the Bear shit and like all that, you know.
Yeah, ever since Stop, Drop, and Roll dropped as a song, no one ever had a fire. Yeah.
All right, my house has to stop, drop, and roll.
So the fire guys have nothing to do. They're just sitting around.
I mean, I work right next to a fire station in one of the busiest, most urban parts of Pittsburgh. And those guys basically just take workout equipment out behind the station and fuck with it for hours.
So, like, there's
a dude
awesome.
Just flipping a tire, and there's a dude like pushing a sled across the concrete. And I'm like, aren't there, you know, fires
doing
to fight?
CrossFit?
Maybe.
No, they're like, no, hasn't been a fire in 6 months.
Man, I every morning I wake up and I pray for a fucking cat to be stuck in a tree and do something other than lift these enormous weights over my
Even
head.
Even cats nowadays, they know how to get out of a tree. There's no need for us.
Yeah, they have Twitter now.
Twitter for cats? I would just tweet like, oh no, my son got stuck in a tree. Once one of my MUFOs help him? And then 10
the
simps
internet
show
ruined
up.
Our job.
Yeah, 10 simps for the cat show up.
You don't even need a fucking fireman to come rescue your cat anymore, because everybody knows the weird kid in the neighborhood who just likes to climb trees anyway.
Firemen Facebook groups just posting pictures of buildings on fire, being like, this is what they took from you.
It's you know, you're like, you're standing in your apartment looking out the window as some firemen roll up and start extending the ladder up into the tree, and you know, that you're just thinking to yourself, this is not what I meant when I called 911 and asked some firefighters to rescue my pussy.
That's a pretty big ask, though. I mean, you can't they probably don't get that request a lot.
Yeah.
anyway, speaking of rescuing things, I guess. Hi, this is Beep Beep Lettuce. Hello, thank you for being here. This is the regular episode.
We're here to rescue you from boredom, because this here is the cool extreme radio hour where we say the real fucking shit.
Yeah, we pull up to your house in a fire truck and we send in a thing. You might think it's a fire hose, but it's actually a microphone arm. Or it's you're on the podcast too. We interview you.
Yeah, we're rescuing your pussy.
We pull up to your house in a bulldozer. We bulldoze your house down. It's Gaza. You live in Gaza. We're Israel.
It's the official IDF podcast.
We bring that guy in who always bulldozes your house and builds a new one. It's Extreme Home Makeover too.
that would be really funny if they like it did imperialism, but they rebranded it as like woke homemade.
Well, they would. Why wouldn't they? You know, they would just make it. Fuck it. They'd steal our idea, make it weed theme, and call it like home bakeover. You know,
home bakeover. Oh, yeah. I mean,
congratulations.
That's
while you were in a top secret government black site in a cell, we remodeled your entire house. Also, somebody else lives there now.
I'm just imagining those fucking old like exhibit memes where it's like, bro, you told us you like weed, so we put weed in your weed so you can smoke while you smoke.
Yeah, I was gonna say like the house would be like the cars in Pimp My Ride, where it's like, well, we took your car and we added like 10 different things to it that will look cool for this one episode, and then when you try to drive it, it will be completely not street legal and it'll all fall apart.
Yeah.
It's like you have 10 water slides, you've got a game room, you've got a bowling alley, there's no bathroom, the guy who does bathrooms, he was busy.
There's so, no engine.
Just go outside. Yeah.
You were going to pay millions in zoning fines.
A couple years ago, I saw a car that was on Pimp My Ride on Craigslist.
Oh,
it,
hell yeah.
It nice. Was like a minivan, and every door had like shitty TV screens in it. It was like, I can't remember if it was CRTs or like really early shitty tiny LCDs, but it was just like Pimp My Ride was in an era where like the technology was just not there yet.
Yeah. So, yeah. Everything's like, covered with PS2s.
Yeah.
So it's like
gaming
it's like
will never advance past this
Chrysler
point.
Chrysler minivan. And I guess the people who owned it just abandoned it in like their driveway for like 20 years. So it was just sitting for that long. And then it just ended up on Craigslist for a couple $100.
Damn. Yeah, I want to buy it and host a Smash Melee tournament in there if they are CRTs.
Yeah. They should. Oh, you know what they should do? There should be a Pimp My Ride 2 where it's like all of the cars that they fucked up by like having kids who like just barely could afford a car, or like basically were probably leasing it anyway and could get no resale value after the Pimp My Ride, and then they change it back.
Oh yeah,
to something like a really totally boring, drivable and good.
Yeah, it's like a really boring like mechanic guy is the opposite of exhibit, and he's like, well, I heard you like cars, so we took away all the bullshit and now it's just a car.
I just love the thought of a fucking like really straight-laced mechanic dude who's like, oh, I gotta take all these tiny LCD screens out of this minivan. Yeah. gonna get this 98 Honda Accord running like brand new.
Yeah,
that folks, you're now listening to Car Talk. I'm your host, and this today's lesson is don't put more money into your car than it's worth.
It's 106.7 drive time. The Skull album. And today we're talking about, the first thing we're going to talk about is the thing that every liberal is having a field day with, Trump's tax returns. Ladies
Surely
and gentlemen,
Donald Trump won't wriggle out of this one.
We've got it.
They found out he's a Cheeto officially. He wrote that I'm a Cheeto on his tax returns, and now it's proven.
Yeah, he filled out, it's like, what is your gender? And he filled in Cheeto.
It's his gender? Is that what they're calling him? I didn't know they were gender policing him. I thought it was just tanning policing him.
Donald Trump is like, it turns out my gender is Cheeto. Checkmate, liberals.
You gotta respect it. Joe Biden, he said there's more than two. Maybe one. Maybe one's Cheeto. We don't know.
Every time you've been calling me a Cheeto, you've been correctly gendering me.
Eat that, SJWs.
SJW0, Donald 1.
That's what his pronouns are. First president with pronouns in his bio.
Does Joe Biden have pronouns in his bio? I don't think so, right?
I don't think anyone ever has.
Kamala Harris has pronouns in her bio.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's a big thing. Everyone is like, she wore the Tim's and pronouns. She can kill me. She's a queen of the universe. Yeah.
I love to get drone bombed by her. So this week, New York Times released a big a big story, an expose, multiple different articles. I love when they do this, when the, it like becomes something that's like takes over their whole newspaper, their whole website for like a couple of days, where they have this huge, long, big thing. And it's like one of those things where the, as you scroll, the graphics change, but then there's like a single sentence on each page or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I like that when I go to this article, there's a little pop-up saying facts are critical. Share them with those you care about. Refer somebody to our special rate of $1 a week. It's like, I would not refer somebody to your newspaper if they were my worst fucking enemy.
Yeah, it's a bad thing to refer people to.
All right, so what's the deal with this tax shit that's coming out? What does it tell us that we didn't already know?
Well, really nothing. And that's the thing about it. It's, you know, you sort of assume that Donald Trump is a huge idiot who has lost a lot of money in his life and somehow is still weirdly in like the ruling class. I mean, he's obviously the president now. But basically the New York Times is like narrative of this is like he owes a lot of money and he has been doing tax fraud and, you know, whatever. We all knew that. My thing that is, and it's funny because I've seen a lot of people on Twitter sort of be like, this doesn't matter. Like what is going to happen? Like no one cares. We know the IRS is already doing what they're going to do. You know, this isn't going to change anybody's mind. Like, as a matter of fact, and I mean, I think that they'd be right to say this, like not paying taxes is cool. like lots of Republicans wouldn't give a shit about this at all. And oh, I mean, yeah. Trump has already absolutely addressed this by saying, you didn't pay taxes in this year. And he said, that makes me smart.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, literally, that's exactly true.
But the thing is, his entire, it's chiding him for not paying taxes is going to backfire severely on the Democrats because it makes them look like fucking pussy ass hall monitor twerps.
Right.
When, they're telling the smart guy who got one over on the fucking tax man, got one over on the banks because he also fucking owes a bunch of money to banks that, you know, who, but he still has like a golden toilet and boats and hotels and casinos. They're telling him, oh, you know, we're going to tell on you. It's like, fuck you. That yeah. is.
Yeah. No one cares.
This is what they're offering you instead of fucking concrete material gains in your life. Once again.
Well, it's like, who are they going to tell on him to?
You He's know, the president. Like,
this is
supposed, yeah.
This is the big gotcha moment. You know, this is the big thing. Like, how many times have we been through the gotcha moment, nothing happens cycle by this point? Like 1,000?
Nevertheless.
Mm-hmm. It's been happening since before he was president, I feel like. The fucking the pussy tape. Like, he said sure. he likes to grab women's pussies. Ended. He's dead now. His body is decaying currently.
His body is over and dead. Like, with.
What do the Dems think that the typical response is going to be to this? Like, I guess if you're a liberal,
from Trump supporters?
Like, yeah. Well, no. If you're a liberal, I think that, yeah, okay. In the liberal mindset, he's a bad, bad, bad boy because we're all good taxpaying Americans, even when our taxes are literally going to concentration camps and imperialism. It's like, I don't, you know, me personally, I'm not going to implicate myself on this podcast, but like, you know, fuck paying taxes personally.
Sure.
But for Trump's base, it's like the mindset is not, oh, Trump didn't pay any taxes. Maybe he should. It's like, Trump didn't pay any taxes. Maybe I shouldn't either.
Yeah.
Well, the fucking Democrats think that they're like still fighting the Republicans from 20 years ago, right? They're like, oh, they're the party of like financial reliability. And so if we just show them that their big wet boy is in fact a huge scam artist, like it's gonna disillusion the Republican voters and the Republican like Congress people and stuff. It's like that. We've been past that point. Like since before fidget spinners were popular, you know, like,
oh man, nice. When was that? 20 Remember years that? Ago, 30 years ago,
100 years ago,
1 million years dungeon. So the thing, yeah, of course this doesn't matter whatsoever. The thing that I really have an issue with about all of this is that the New York Times did not release the taxes. Like every liberal has been sort of, their rallying cry has been, you know, release the taxes, like do the tax return. I want to see Trump's tax return. But we didn't actually get to see Trump's tax return. The New York Times published what appears to be like a report. report, like a book report on Donald Trump's taxes, but not actually the files themselves. So we really have no idea.
Well, I mean, if there's one thing that I've learned about reports, it's that they have the potential to take Trump down. Various, you know, reports.
But one thing that I've talked about a little bit on this show before, like, I'm very suspicious of the fact that Trump was given $1 million loans, despite being, according to this, you know, we all know this based on other reporting, but according to this report, like, he's been in the red, deep in debt, and not making any money for a couple decades now.
But I mean, that's an easy accounting trick to make it so you don't have to pay taxes. You just say you're operating in the red.
And there's also so many, there's not that many rich people in the world. Who else are the banks going to give money to? They had to pick him eventually, you know?
It's sure.
Not like, what are they going to do? Like, invest in a community? Are they going to build, are they going to pull people out of poverty? I don't think those are even on the table.
There's a famous quote from somebody saying, like, when you're in debt to the, what is it?
Oh, I think it's like, if you owe somebody $1,000, you have a problem. If you owe somebody $1 billion, they have a problem.
Right,
something
exactly.
Like that.
Yeah. And sometimes, right. You know, the sort of rich person calculus goes a lot of different ways in a play, and it doesn't necessarily make sense to people who make under, say, $80,000 a year. Mm-hmm. But being in debt isn't necessarily a bad thing. And I don't think that just being like, well, he is in debt is a mm-hmm. very convincing thing to anybody. Because rich people understand very well that being in debt is not a bad thing.
Wait, and you're telling me that the U.S. doesn't really owe China however many trillion dollars?
Yeah.
And we're not just going to send them like a giant Publisher's Clearinghouse check one day to cover the debt? Like
six yeah. Trillion dollars.
We're going to own China by sending the debt in pennies.
More and more in the past decades, you know, like most of America is in debt. Like basically yeah. Everything about our economy is designed to keep you in debt or like a slave to debt instruments, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never even really had any major debts. And you know how they punish me for that? I don't have a credit score. I go to look up my credit yeah. on fucking Credit Karma or whatever. It just says N-A, not available.
That's actually good. They don't have a record of your existence. I have excellent credit because I've figured out loopholes in the system to build credit while actually not owing any money. But it's important to note that, like, look, the majority of Americans don't want to pay taxes. They owe money to banks and they fucking hate the banks that they owe money to. And Donald Trump is a fucking idol to them. Mm-hmm. Just imagine, like, you want to be like that. Like the liberal angle of attack saying, oh, Donald Trump only paid $750 in taxes is actually like, it's just like 2016. All of
right,
their attacks
no, totally.
Are just make their opponent look cool. It's the fucking Bart Simpson and Martin Prince thing where it's like a vote for Bart is a vote for anarchy is, you know, a smear, but it's also Bart's slogan.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like Trump is the power fantasy, right? Like the more awful he is, the more terrible shit he gets away with, the more that his followers who are like living vicariously through him or have like, you know, unrealistic ambition to be somebody like that, the more that they're just like, yeah, this is our guy. This is the thing. This is what I want to do too.
Right. But I think what's more telling to me, and like I've said on the show before, like Deutsche Bank is known to be a bank that the CIA uses as a shell corporation oftentimes, and funneling somebody hundreds of millions of dollars in the 90s through Deutsche Bank is something that happened to Trump. And I would really like to see his tax returns to sort of explore this concept that maybe Trump is not necessarily just some independent individual who happened to swindle the American public, but there may be something going on with the people who actually control this country, without sounding like a crazy person, you know, basing it off of nothing except for some very shady dealings that we know a little bit about. But the New York Times isn't going to show you that because they're not interested in actually showing you any other narrative than the one that they've written a book report about, which is Trump is poor. And that's actually lame. And he didn't pay taxes. He's not playing fair. And to me, that is very telling of just exactly what it's not about getting information about how Trump is actually using where he gets his money or how he's being used, but simply to create a narrative that the liberals think is slanderous to him. So it's stupid and it isn't going to help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what they're offering you instead of like making your life better. And that's why they're going to lose in November.
Yeah. It seems like it.
But speaking of losing,
speaking of making people's lives better,
currently a Philly homeless encampment has actually claimed a victory over the city for 50 vacant homes. So I guess for months, these homeless folks, their encampment has been standing off against the Philadelphia Housing Authority. They reached a tentative deal, according to this Philly Voice article, to provide these protest camp residents with 50 vacant homes, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've long said with how many fucking vacant homes there are in the United States, it's completely inexcusable to not be handing them over to people who need houses. And, like, I know that there's, like, technically legal liability issues and everything that come with putting a person onto a property, but, like, maybe we need to instate those same legal liability issues for just letting them die out on the street corner. Then,
right.
If, you know, whatever is, whatever will get them into a house, like, it can't be worse than not being in a house.
Sure. I mean, what was the, Chris, what was the tactic here? Like, what was their political leverage that they used to get?
As far as I can tell, it's just that like the city wanted to like evict this encampment. I tried to like do a little research on like what it was, and I didn't really like, I think there's probably like tweets and stuff about it. Mm-hmm. But basically, just like they had an encampment set up and the city wanted them to move out and they were refusing to, and were basically threatening like, if you do like tear it down, we'll just build it again. So essentially, yeah, they're like cool, giving them these houses to make them like close down the encampment. So just using the leverage of direct action and occupying a space and making concrete demands.
Well, it's almost like these like structures that exist to keep people down are not really as strong of institutions as they seem like. And if you actually just get together with a large group of people and look at them too hard, they will fall over in a lot of cases.
Do you think that if I camped out in the parking lot of Taco Bell long enough, they'd give me free Cinnabon Delights and a chalupa?
100%.
I think
I actually know that for sure.
All you would have to do is slip any random Taco Bell worker a fat nug during their lunch break, and everyone in the store will hook you up with free shit.
Hell permanently. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think you could fall asleep in your Jeep outside of a Taco Bell and you'd wake up and you'd have a free chalupa and get a free Cinny Sticks in your lap. You have to feel bad for you.
It's a Christmas miracle. I think that you're totally right, John, that like I've been noticing that just protesting, like not even being quote unquote violent, like I don't accept the sort of liberal journalist idea of what violence is. Like, we haven't had a violent protest yet. Like, we haven't even seen a lick of violence from any protester.
And it's not even through lack of trying. I mean, the media has been basically hyping up both sides trying to get people to go
it seems
violent.
Like it.
And now the right wing guys are trucking in like riot gear. It's insane.
But even through very, you know, not quote unquote peaceful, but also not quote unquote violent, just regular ass protesting, cops are quitting all over. That like lots of cops are do not want a job where their actual power is threatened, or they have to like keep it in any way. And I've considered,
or they have to do anything that they don't want to do. They can't just run around and be a racist monster with a gun.
Yeah,
they're like, oh,
exactly.
I might actually be expected to like fill out paperwork and like actually have to work to suppress a large group of people's rights. Yeah, I don't get paid enough for that. I'm out.
We
Bye.
Don't actually have like an ideological, like we don't even really have, we haven't done the work as a country to like really create a fascist enough narrative of like, oh, you're doing something that helps something. Like, mm-hmm. It's just individualist idiots who get like a power trip every once in a while to like put dopamine to like, because these cops have shitty lives too. Like, no one's, you know, they might have more money than most people, but like, mm-hmm. They're not like writing, you know, they're not rich people.
That's how they end up being cops. Yeah, it's like if you are like an uneducated person, or if you're like a poor person, like if you want to make 80 grand a year and get to be an asshole bully to people, being a cop is a great way to go.
Right,
but you're
exactly.
Totally right. They have no ideological commitment to the role of policing in almost every case.
There isn't like a Nazi set. Like, I mean, we like to, lots of the left likes to make the comparison of like, oh, you know, America is like Germany or whatever. But like, we don't have anywhere close to the narrative of like creating a a true and pure America, and like as a as an ideological goal for people to really even care enough to do anything besides attain some sort of power in an individual sense. So you have all these cops who are just like, man, we're a gang and I like my friends, until it's like hard at all. And then if you make it hard for them, they'll fucking stop. And I think that it, all it would really take is like a few well-placed parody things to get them afraid enough to leave. And I think that like this is a good example of, you know, just if you're just like, we're not going to stop being homeless. I don't know what you want us to do. And then just being organized enough to be like, we're going to continue fighting you unless you help us. People just will, because it's like, there's nothing else to do.
I guess you can have these houses we had anyway. Fine, you win.
I mean, that's the thing. People will just do whatever's easier. And like, institutions exist to make it easier to perpetuate the status quo than to go against it. But if you get enough people who have enough will to change something, and they get together and make it harder to preserve the status quo than to change it, people will just start doing the easier thing. Like, humans are fundamentally lazy. I don't want to know if, I don't care if they're good or evil. They're fucking fundamentally lazy, and we should be exploiting that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Bryn, I was the kind of thing, like what you were saying just now about like how quickly cops like want to puss out. Cause there's like always, there was just recently footage of some kind of protest where people were just like standing on a sidewalk and a bunch of cops like charged at them.
Right.
And I was thinking about how it's like, from the cops' perspective, like this harmless group of people on the sidewalk, like is by far the scariest thing that they can encounter, because like one or two guys with a gun, like they can always kill them and like arrest them or whatever. Even if some cops die, like they'll take them down. But if they let enough people be on a sidewalk saying fuck the cops and they don't stop them, then that group gets bigger and bigger.
Right.
And eventually the group kind of looks around and is like, there's 100 of us for every one cop. Who cares what kind of equipment they have? We all have a brick. We can stop them. And yeah, I feel like the cops are trying to strike right now before people gather in groups large enough to actually realize
that. Right. And I've said this on the show before, like, you know, I used to like strategize in my head and with my friends, you know, other anarchists and communists, like, okay, well, we'll never be able to take the military, you know, like how do you overthrow a state? You know, like that is deeply, you know, one of the largest military.
Well, if you get a hacker good enough.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying, is that like, you don't have to, like, they're not going to kill, they're not going to slaughter civilians by the thousands. Like, they're just either too lazy or too like stupid. Then the only people who would do that are like Bezos.
Like, just and Bezos in a mech.
We have to stop them before they get to a point where Bezos has a personal army where he will just drone bomb you with Amazon drones.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
well, that's the thing. Like, the out of the police and the military, like, what percentage of them do you think are like true believers who would follow orders at all costs and be like, we're doing the right thing no matter what? Like,
3%.
A huge number of the military is just like people from working class and poor neighborhoods, specifically people of color that join the military because there's no other option. I highly doubt that their loyalties lie with, you know, whatever the regime is doing beyond their next paycheck.
Of course not. If you ever go online and you watch the fucking like Vines and TikToks and other like posts from people in the military, 95% of them are like, I fucking hate being in the military. This is hell. Yeah. I can't wait to get home. Nobody should ever do this. And 5% of them are like, hoorah, guys who love what they're fucking doing.
Right. Yeah. And they're loud and they get platformed by the military, you know, like,
that's right.
They get their own Twitch streams and they get their own, you know, they get to run the Twitter account or whatever, because they're fucking freaks who love to be like smashed with a boot. But most people just want to get the paycheck, want to get the college degree and get the fuck out of the desert, because they're, you know, don't have any other option. So, you know, I'm just saying that with a little organization, with a little bit of like, you know, just saying this is what we want and this is how we're going to do it, and get a couple hundred people in each city to do it, you can do stuff. And speaking of that, so Seattle had a city council vote that said that they wanted to defund the police. This was a couple months ago. And as we know, Seattle had a lot of, I guess, brouhaha, as you might say. Mm-hmm. That's where the Chad was, or the Chaz, whatever.
The Chad.
I forgot about it.
When you said just pictured a giant Chad like stomping through the city like Godzilla.
I think it was Chaz. It was Chaz and then Chop.
I think it was Chad. Yeah. We'll say Chad.
I like Chad. Yeah. If they called it the Chad, maybe no one would have fucked with it.
The thing where they were like, hey, let's call it the Chop instead. Definitely a psyop to make them look stupid.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. And I would say, so Seattle had a lot of uprisings, a lot of things happening, and they put in front of the city council rule to defund the police, which passed. And then the mayor, Mrs. Durkin, Jenny Durkin, vetoed it. But apparently, just recently, the city council was like, you can't, fuck you. They voted down her veto, basically. And so it appears that Seattle is legally in a situation where they have to defund the police. I don't know what that means, though, and I believe it when I fucking see it, but this is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a precedent. It definitely is encouraging, even if it's not going to be followed through on the way I would like it to.
No, definitely. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, what is defund? We have to start talking about what is defunding the police mean when you know you're under cat, when you don't change anything else. Is there stuff in this law, in this ruling, that is like, okay, well, we defunded the police, but now we're funding a bunch of other sort of organizations that are important and helpful, and like, you know, we need a homeless organization that's funded by the city that that rehouses people. We need
it employs former cops who have new mustaches, and it's not the same guys who were the police at all.
Well, that's the stuff that was happening around when people were talking about defunding the police in the first place. Was like,
what about a fucking service that gets you home visits from doctors and other fucking healthcare professionals? What about training programs so that more people can work in industries that actually like help the community and help the society instead of bullshit made up office jobs and like becoming police and employees of private military contractors.
Right. And you know, you can't do any of this stuff if you like allow, I mean, what I'm afraid of is like, would a place like Seattle be like, okay, there's no police to protect, you know, the property of, you know, the tech companies that have offices there. So they just start their own police companies, you know, absolutely. Like, is there just going to be private police
that's
everywhere?
That's the wet dream of Silicon Valley. And that's always been the general model of basically anything Silicon Valley. But the whole point of like the corporations getting on board with defund the police as like a rallying cry beyond just, you know, being something that they can get behind to put together an ad campaign around with stock footage of like, you know, people of color and shit like that. It's basically they want to do private police forces to replace or just private anything, private transport,
private everything,
private equity coming in and replacing all the public services and, you know, supposed leftists getting behind it because they've been convinced that it's the woke thing to do.
But well, you know,
well,
it's,
that's the thing. It's like I do want the police to be defunded. I want them to be abolished and fucking disbanded and told that they like. That's the thing is you can't just take away the current police force. You also need to put something down that says like trying to establish a police force, something that like rules in the streets on a basis of quote unquote legality by the authority of their own physical force that they can exert. Like that's fucking illegal. You can't do that. Like
right. You have to completely. That's the other thing. And I was always a bit skeptical of the concept of quote unquote defunding the police anyway. Like, what does that mean? Like, now they're just a bunch of roving gangs of people with guns who have less money. Like, then you just turn your shit into like one of those countries where the police like take bribes like as a necessity and everyone knows it. And they're just like, hey, we fucking, you know, we captured that robber for you. So now, you know, open your purse or whatever. And it's like, that's not better. They have to be eliminated. They have to be illegal. It has to be executed. Something different. Yeah. Yeah.
Eliminated.
Yeah. So this is, I don't know. I've been following this story and like all of the defunding quote unquote, you know, around the country, because it's really important to see what happens and to make sure that, you know, the protesters and you know, are have the information to be like, okay, well, the fight's not over. You know, you didn't get what you want. You know, it's like if someone kills your child in the street and they like are the police or they work for Amazon, like nothing changed. So we'll see what happens.
I'm excited for the Amazon police drones that just fly overhead and just like just kill you if you they catch you doing anything that Amazon doesn't like.
Right. Or they just like are the like Amazon is the only place you can get food. You know, like everything is Whole Foods and it's like, oh, you committed a crime. You can't shop at Amazon, meaning anywhere.
Citizen, you are banned from food for 4 hours for that infraction. Please apologize to Mr. Bezos.
God, that's fucking bleak.
I mean, the more that stuff like is like stuff that has been in RoboCop and shit since the 80s, but like it's become more and more bleak as it's like, no, that's their end game. And it's like, that is the stakes. That is not like a weird, like spec-fi idea of what could happen. It's like the stakes, what we need to stop from happening that will happen if we don't. Yeah. So switching gears completely here. Project Veritas. if you remember, Project Veritas is a absolutely absurd right-wing project.
They're friends of the show, right?
Friends of the show.
Yeah. That's why I always ordered at Olive Garden. Can I get a bottle of wine and the Project Veritas, please?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what that is. I thought Veritas was one of those knockoff dick pills you see on like torrent site ads and stuff.
Samurai X and Project Veritas.
We're trying to bury the lead, John. We got a Project Veritas dick pills ad coming at the end of this episode.
Project Veritas funding. I forget where the funding comes from.
Koch brothers.
The Trump Foundation has absolutely funded them. It's very, very much funded by the Koch brothers. just wanted to double check that before I said it because I always assume, but you never know. But it is the Koch brothers.
It's going to be even weirder when both Koch brothers are dead, but like all the stuff they funded keeps on, you know, acting like zombies for decades
more. Sure, because the Koch brothers, we're not talking about two supervillains. We're talking about, when we say the Koch brothers, we're talking about a international global libertarian coup that has been like, you know, being processed for the past couple decades.
Yeah, we're talking about 40 or 50 clones of the Koch brothers who have been spread out across the globe.
Yeah.
To insert themselves into different governments.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is like a clone of one of the Koch brothers. That's why his face looks a little fucked up. The cloning process like didn't make his face quite correct.
I don't know what they look like. So their newest Q drop or whatever, you know, their big expose is claiming that Ilhan Omar was illegally ballot harvesting, which it doesn't really matter. The fact is that nothing actually happened. But what is more interesting about this to me is that all kinds of news outlets continue to just print Project Veritas like stories as if we haven't experienced them being absolute liars multiple times. And it goes to show that there is really no journalism.
It's so confusing because I mean, like, look, what motivation could media outlets possibly have to spread misinformation, you know, especially about the left?
Right. Exactly. It seems like there might be an ulterior motive.
Well, but like, I mean, like, internet revenue is like so heavily ad based. It's no wonder journalism, like, the more right wing it goes, the more it just looks like a fucking evangelical Christian version of like a BuzzFeed listicle. Like, that's right. The kind of like level of journalistic integrity we've settled at this point.
Sure. And you know, it's not every, like, I haven't actually seen, you know, the sort of quote unquote serious liberal outlets like the New York Times write about it. I'm sure they did some kind of blurb about it, but it's more like Newsweek, the Daily News, the Daily Post, etc., or the New York Post, just writing breathlessly, like, Project Veritas says this, and it's like, well, what is Project Veritas?
We know they lied before, but what about this time? What's happening now? Perhaps something crazy happened and they're actually right.
Right.
Project Veritas, those are the bad guys from the Venture Brothers, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I still haven't seen that show. But yeah, so the group's founder says that, what did she do? She bribed voters. This was, I think it was dropped as like a Snapchat video. She says, we just got 300 for Jamal Osman. I have 300 ballots in my car right now. Yeah, so the idea is that she basically bribed voters to vote for someone else. But obviously, sick. You can look into it. Yeah.
How do I get some sweet vote bribe money? I'll vote for anybody. I don't give a shit about this election. Who's willing to give me $500 for my vote?
I'll do it for $4.95. I mean, you know, get some value for your money.
$4.95.
Chris, how dare you step in and undercut me like that?
$4.90.
I'm sorry.
Hear $4.85?
John and me should team up and we'll only take $1,500 for both of our votes.
I refuse to be bought. I will be voting for Ron Paul. The revolution will not be televised because they're afraid of him having a stroke.
So I mean, what's also really interesting about Project Veritas is like they're basically saying that people have rigged the election, but then there's no like it doesn't matter. Like there's no solution to that ever. You know, there's never like, well, the system is broken. We have to change something. We have to put new laws or whatever. It's just a smear campaign.
Well, yeah. And it's like anytime the Republicans do like accuse liberal Democrats of doing something, that just means that they're doing it right now. And they want to be like, no, we accused you of it first. You know?
Right. It's
like,
oh, yeah. This is just the liberal smear because they are mad that we pointed out that they did that. It's right. Easy.
It's so easy because the Democrats never have any kind of counterplay for it. They run through news cycles the exact same way every time. They're the most predictable opponent in the world.
Yeah, it's like someone, it's like fighting a Smash Brother character who only does Falcon Punch.
Wait, you're not supposed to do that?
I mean, every once in a while you land a Falcon Punch. Actually, it's probably a bad analogy because I don't know if the Democrats have ever landed a Falcon Punch.
I feel like to them, Obama was a Falcon Punch. Like Falcon Punch Bush out of the
White
House.
That's true. Sure.
But then they were like, let's keep doing that.
When I see someone playing Melee and they're just like Falcon punching every single move with Captain Falcon, I'm like, well, you really got to give it to them. But when I see the Democrats, I do not feel remotely I actually have to give it to them.
I don't have to give them anything.
You do not in any way, shape, or form have to hand it to them.
No.
But somebody who this week got his ass Falcon punched, Brad Parscale, responsible for that rally where there were like 300 people, but K-pop stands apparently, I don't know, according to AOC or whatever cringe she's doing these days, were signing up for tickets in droves caused it to be completely empty.
The COVID one.
That was his doing. Has apparently been arrested and hospitalized after a reported suicide attempt, but the video of him getting arrested is extremely, he got Baker acted, by the way.
Which means
if you're not familiar, if you're in Florida, you can apparently, if you're a danger to yourself or others, or if somebody just wants to put you away in a mental hospital, you can get what's called Baker acted, which is just a way they basically can, you know, imprison somebody who's, I mean, maybe having a legitimate mental health crisis, but in many cases it gets used as a weapon against people.
Right. But they commit you against your
detained,
will.
Yeah. Committed against your will, basically. But this guy got detained. He apparently beat his wife. He had a bunch of guns, just fucking wilding out, just drunk as fuck.
Right. I don't know what's going on in this story. All we know, this just dropped today. It's pretty crazy. He was apparently attempting suicide, but that it's not really clear what that means.
It's not even clear where like the call came from. Like the police have only revealed that they were responding to his residence, quote, in reference to an armed male attempting suicide, which is like, I don't know how he was trying to kill himself, but like, was he just like not able to aim at his own head with the gun, or what's the deal?
I keep missing. Yeah, I saw that there's like footage of the cops arresting him that I saw on Twitter earlier. I didn't realize that's who it was. He's like shirtless and talking to them, and then 8 cops like tackle him to the ground onto the pavement and cuff him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's King very shit. Possible that this guy was, you know, going through something intense, and you know, that's happens to people. But really, the Baker Act is sounding off of a little bit of alarms. Like, what kind of person?
No, I mean, Brad Parscale absolutely deserves to be institutionalized without his consent. However,
for other reasons.
yeah. Like, because he's, you know, like the campaign manager or the deputy campaign manager of, you know, like he's a psycho, right?
Oh, totally.
But yeah. The fact that the Baker Act exists and can be used against somebody, you know, for political reasons or whatever is definitely alarming, as you said, Brad.
Yeah, it's very strange, and I don't know exactly what's going on. But
well, I mean, I go tinfoil hat every time anybody this close to power, quote unquote, attempts suicide or quote unquote kills themselves.
If you fucking know anything about history of America, that's what they do. They love to do it. They do it all the time. They fucking say that you were going to kill yourself, or you know. They make you have a fake heart attack or brain aneurysm or whatever, and then you're dead, or they commit you. It's happened many, many times. So I really want to know what happened. I'm very excited to hear more about this.
This guy's definitely getting lobotomized to protect state secrets. There's no other way.
Right. They're going to resurrect Jolly West, and he's going to be like, you know about the Jews at the border, right? That's a Jack Ruby reference to those in the know. But yeah, so I don't have much to say about this one, except it's very suspicious. And I can't wait to figure out what's actually going on.
Well, speaking of suspicious things where nobody knows what's actually going on, apparently in Philadelphia, there was a person who was out paragliding, you know, or near Philadelphia. They were out paragliding just for fun, like you do.
Okay.
And then they apparently went missing. Somebody called the police or called like a information number or something. It was like, hey, this person's missing. But a huge search party of people went out to look for this guy all night. And it turns out that he had simply packed up his paraglider and gone home. Was sleeping in his bed.
This is absolute king shit.
I was gonna say, like, that's like the dream, right? Is like to have so little concern for the world that you're just like, today I will go paragliding and then I will sleep in my bed and you cause like a municipal emergency just by doing that.
I don't understand who caused.
Oh God, he's gone. He hasn't come back, my boy.
Do you think there was just somebody on acid who like saw a paraglider disappear over the tree line and he was like, that guy's gone forever.
He's never coming back.
Oh man.
Yeah, I can't imagine what is happening here. But hey, I would love to get in a paraglider and cause a national emergency or a statewide emergency.
I mean, I've mentioned many times on this pod that I really admire paragliders, especially powered paragliders, and I would love to try it someday. And
that's the one that's like basically a big V with like wheels and a motor, right?
Yeah, sometimes they're a chassis that you can sit in, but sometimes you just strap a huge fan to your back and you just take off into the sky.
That's awesome. Wrong.
Yeah, I want to do that. I'm a little scared of it, mm-hmm. but I would do it.
We should do an episode of the podcast from paragliders if we reach a
podcast, sort of Patreon level. But on a paraglider.
Yeah. What if we should definitely do episodes of the podcast from weird locations, such as inside the temple on Little St. James.
I've mm-hmm. been meaning to go there.
Yeah.
I have like some unfinished business.
Imagine if we're all still alive, like the apocalypse hasn't happened. Things haven't quite gone to shit. Like 20 years from now, I bet there's going to be like people who are on Twitter like now doing like religious pilgrimages to Epstein's Island.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be able to take a fucking Norwegian cruise ship to fucking Little St. James by
the Carnival Cruise.
There's going to be a tour. There's going to be like 30 Japanese people with cameras.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then there will be like Disney animatronics of like what actually happened.
Oh no. Animatronic Epstein. They're like, well, look, I mean, it's, you know, a pretty monstrous thing that happened here, but the animatronics technology has gotten really good. Nobody really cared about the Hall of Presidents anymore. So we figured, why not the Hall of Pedophiles?
Which is also the Hall of Presidents.
It's a good crossover too. We already had a Bill Clinton. Nobody wanted to see him at, you know, a place for children. But if it's a pedophile museum, you know, mm-hmm. put it to some use.
Yeah. So last thing we'll talk about before we go, tonight, the day after this comes out, is the first presidential debate.
I forgot they were even having debates.
Yeah, I honestly, somebody asked me to be on their show to talk about the debate. I was like, what debate? What are you talking about?
Hell yeah.
There's going to be a debate?
I'm very excited that there's actually going to be a debate because, I mean, we talked about this on the show before. There was a lot of doubt whether there would actually be a debate.
I don't believe it.
They owe us this debate. It's a hot commodity. It's a fucking hot commodity. Everybody's going to watch it. It's going to be bigger than the fucking Super Bowl. If they were smart, they'd make it pay-per-view.
Yeah, because there's a slim but possible chance that one of the two of them gets COVID from this debate. The next two weeks are going to be incredible, waiting with bated breath to see if one of them gets that dry cough, the telltale dry cough and fever, and drops dead of COVID.
I put a single dollar down on 1,000-to-1 odds that they both die during the debate. So I can't wait to reap the rewards of that.
Hell yeah. Reap them yourself.
You went to DraftKings.com.
In Minecraft? No.
Yeah. Easiest $1,000 John's ever made. Traveling all the way to Ohio.
My middle and last name are actually Wilkes Booth.
Hey. But my feeling about the debate is that, like, no one's mind is going to be changed by a debate. And I think that should be fairly obvious. But what could happen? I guess, I don't know. What could happen that would be anywhere even interesting? Like, do you think Joe Biden has even the slightest chance of placing the blame of like COVID? And, you know, unemployment being at 50% on the shoulders of Trump. Like, do you think he'll do anything even near that savvy?
No, Joe Biden's, his only chance during the debate is that with all the ad breaks and all of the moderator introductions, the meat and potatoes of the debate will be less than 10 minutes long. That's his only hope. If he has to talk for more than 10 minutes, he's completely fucked. There's zero chance of success for him.
I think that's probably right. It's funny because there was a video going around, I think this week, where Joe Biden was like, he did the Jeb please clap thing, but he said, clap. What did he say? Clap for that,
you stupid fucking bastards.
Hell yeah.
Well, I don't know. I want to believe that was like just him being like insane, but realistically, he was like presenting in front of the army. So it does make sense.
I was going to say.
That like he's trying to put on like a false bravado, like army guy, like Arlie Ermy kind of thing.
100%. I fully agree. And the funny thing about that is that people watch that video and are like, this is the best thing he's done all campaign. But that was from 2018.
I think 2016. It's 4 years ago. It's ancient history.
Oh yeah, you're right. This was multiple strokes ago. Like the man is convalescing. We have no idea what kind of condition he's in. And I feel like that, my guess is that fucking probably leaked from the Biden campaign.
Oh yeah. They want to make like, people think wow, he's
he,
actually
he
cool.
He can actually like hold his own against Trump, I guess, if he's like willing to say that or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know? They finally got the market research in that people liked it when Bernie would swear and they were like, mm-hmm. we haven't been swearing.
But I feel like that's his really only like, his only ace in the hole is Joe Biden just being a weird like swear guy who's mm-hmm. like, I'm actually a hard ass.
What if he drives out in like the fake T-Bird from the Onion articles? Like they
but
get
it's
one.
Like a little like clown car.
Yeah, and he has the aviators on and he just like busts through a fake wall onto the stage.
See, I
but
think
to silence because it's like a socially distanced audience.
I would honestly like him more.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Joe Biden went full Mr. Magoo, I would absolutely vote for him. I would enthusiastically campaign for him, but he's just too evil, you know? Yeah. Mr. Magoo is bumbling and benevolent even mm-hmm. when he causes right. damage.
Yeah, Mr. Magoo isn't hiring fucking Cindy McCain for his transition team.
But he absolutely, I mean, like, to be, like, completely wonk brain, like, he has to compete with Trump. Like, he has to. And the only way to do that is completely lean in to being a huge dipshit asshole. And what he should do, the only thing that would make anyone respect Joe Biden and change literally anyone's mind is come out in aviator sunglasses, licking an ice cream cone, and then shove the ice cream cone in Trump's face.
Oh yeah, it's like start a little slap fight.
And then just be like, that's for all the fucking COVID you've been giving people.
Yeah. You damn Cheeto.
Yeah.
I mean, the debate is basically going to be a race to see which candidate gets the bright idea to walk over and just tip the other one over first. Like, can you imagine just like a two finger right in the middle of the chest shove? It'd be enough to knock either one of them flat on the ground. They'd probably die.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think
one of them said the other would go down hard and fast?
Trump. That was Trump. Oh, no. Excuse me. That was Biden.
Well, Biden said he wanted to take Trump behind a high school. Yeah. And then I think Trump said he would go down hard and fast if that happened. I think it's kind of a back and forth.
Well, you know, I'm saying that I still think that there are a lot of people who are voting for Trump because the alternative is Biden. And the fact is that Biden is an establishment guy who is offering nothing, who is not saying, I'm going to do better at COVID. I'm going to do anything different. I'm not going to bring back jobs. He's literally just saying, I'm going to be Trump, but blue, but not even cool. So his only option is to either change politically and be a different person, which won't happen, or lean into what he actually believes and be cool about it, which I highly doubt he'll do because he's dying, because he's dead.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I guess.
We'll have fun with the... with debate that is about to happen. Debate? I'm sure it will be very goofy.
Yeah, I mean, like, who knows? Our next episode could be the best episode of BB ever.
Oh, just a 2-hour postmortem on like a wrestling match that just happened between Trump and Biden.
Yeah,
I mean, we certainly have just watched the greatest TV of all time. I can't imagine like
100%
Game of Thrones finale is going to be fucking nothing compared to this.
It's pathetic.
The very best thing that could happen is that they come out of this both of them dead. So that then it will be a Pence Harris ticket, and then we'll really go crazy, and America will fall. The bottom will fall out of America. So let's everybody get your fucking reading glasses on and let's have fun with that debate. So anyway, thanks so much for listening. This has been BB Bledis. Hope you're having a great week as best as you can. Hang in there. We're gonna get through this, guys. But until then, please follow us at WeedPod on Twitter. We are continually not suspended again, so please follow at WeedPod. Follow all of us individually. And if you'd like to help us out, why don't you check out our patreon.com/BBBledis. We do bonus episodes every week, if you didn't know that, that are basically just more news for your ass. Please listen to those. Otherwise, you'll get Discord stuff.
Go to beepbeeplettuce.threadless.com. T-shirt designs are up, including from the bonus, this past bonus episode, the notorious LOG Log Lady GIF.
My favorite we've made.
Shirt. Why did I say GIF?
I don't know.
My brain's broken. I'm turning into Joe Biden.
Internet things, yeah.
You know the thing.
Okay, yeah, before we all turn into Joe Biden, we'll see you in the Discord.
Goodbye.
Keep on, y'all.
Bye.
They beat upon a broken guitar in all the streets. The reek of tropical charms, the embassies lying hideous yards where tourists snore and decay. And when they dance in a reptile blaze, you wear a mask, an equatorial haze into the past, a colonial maze where there's no more confetti to throw. You wouldn't know what to say to yourself. Love is a poverty you couldn't sell. Misery waits in big hotels. Be a big bitch. You're out of luck. You're singing funeral songs to the studs. The anabolic and bronze, they seem to strut in their millennial fogs till they fall down and deflate. You wouldn't know what to say to yourself. Love is a poverty you couldn't sell. Misery waits in big hotels. Be a victim. Oh, and now you've had your fun under an air-conditioned sun. It's burned into your eyes, leaves you plain and left behind. I see them rise and fall into
to the jazz of a past and then love. You wouldn't know what to say to yourself. Love is a poverty you couldn't sell. Misery waits in big hotels. Be a victim.